This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. This is the Daily Digest. I'm T. Xiao Ik with Lim Soo Ann and Shamila Gunnison. Earlier, we discussed how women may be disproportionately burdened by the zero waste movement. And now let's have a look at our Twitter poll.
So we're asking you on Twitter, are you okay if the group you're with speaks in a language that you don't understand? So the answers are, actually, let's look at the results.
Yes.
So we have 50% of people who took our poll say it depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas 35% of people say, no, it's never okay to speak in a language that one person may not understand.
Yes. And
15% actually say, sure, why not?
Mm.
So you can actually take that poll if you like. Let us know if you're okay if the group that you're with speaks in a language that you can't understand. You can take that poll or let us know your thoughts at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or you can call us at 03-7733-2900.
Yes. So, what our conversation will look at today is whether this practice is disrespectful to those around you or whether it's really just part of living in Malaysia where, you know, we're multicultural, mm-hmm. multiracial, we speak all languages. And, the reason we're talking about this is in response to a tweet last week by lawyer Lim Wei Jiat. And so I'm just going to read out the tweet that he wrote. One thing I detest when Chinese Malaysians speak to each other in Mandarin or Cantonese in the presence of other races who don't understand the language. It's just cringy, unbelievably rude, and makes others feel very excluded.
Mm.
So Lim is the Secretary General of the National Human Rights Society, or HACAM, although he stressed that the tweets were made in his personal capacity.
Yeah, so his tweet went viral and garnered more than 230 responses just to that thread alone. And most people agreed with him that it was rude and disrespectful. So some of some example of the comments that he received at Struggling Fish said that it's always they always feel like an alien during team lunches or even during work discussions. So most of the time, I just put on my earphones so I'll be less lonely.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And some sad face emojis.
Yeah. And another person at Zazul Azman said that happens all the time. And worse is those speaking in Malay, Mandarin or other languages in front of foreigners. It's remarkably bad-mannered. It's even more deplorable when you do this to say things about the person who's excluded.
Yeah. And actually, it's really not just limited to Chinese Malaysians, speaking Chinese. As Zazul says, it's other languages as well. It's all ethnic groups doing in all languages.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially, I suppose, it's a familiar situation, right? Like you're in a group, you mm-hmm. may not speak the language that the majority of people there speak,
mm-hmm.
and they carry on a conversation in that language. Mm-hmm. So you're just sitting there, but you can't participate.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we spoke to some other people to get their thoughts on whether they would feel offended by this.
No, I don't think I'll be offended, but I probably won't hang out with them much because I get it if you're with a group of friends and they're used to speaking in their own language and if they have to accommodate you, just one person, to speak a common language with you and that they're not used to, then yeah, I get it. But then this also impacts, the way how this friendship is going to work in my head, so I'll probably not, or rather reduce the time I hang out with them. So yeah, no, I won't be offended. I understand.
I don't really feel offended, but what it is that I think it is a bit rude. But if I'm with a group of my own friends, then it's no big deal. But I guess I would feel a little bit, I'm not offended, but I think it's kind of rude.
Yes. And that probably comes from, because nobody wants to feel left out. Right? And communication is such a huge part of being in teams, among groups of friends, that you feel alienated and, you kind of feel alone. Like, I want to be part of the conversation too. Like, what are you if you can't contribute to the conversation that's going on? So, yeah, I'll be a little offended.
I normally do feel a little offended. I don't think they do it purposely, but I mean, you obviously feel offended because you're left out, right? No one likes to be left out of conversation. So even if it doesn't concern you, it's still nice to know what the group's talking about. So yeah, a little. I do feel a little offended, but nothing too bad.
Personally, I don't feel offended because I guess it's up to everyone to communicate in however they like. I imagine that if they go to speaking in their own language, they, I guess, need to speak in private in a sense. Although I think it would be nice for them to have the courtesy to like say in advance, like, can I speak to my friend in private in our own language? Something like that. But personally, still, I guess me, I don't mind.
Well, Malaysia is a multiracial country, and we are all, I guess, used to hearing many different languages and dialects around us.
Yes.
So in this sense, language actually distinguishes us from one another. You know, it creates an us versus them. And while there have been debates among language theorists over whether language reflects divisions or creates them, the fact remains that language is built around the very idea of difference, right? So the language you speak has the power to other people, quote-unquote. To other here is used as a verb. In other words, language excludes people, even though you're using it as a common tongue within the group that you identify as your own. You're excluding those who are not within that group.
Yeah. Right. And when it comes to the kind of languages, language practices that Lim was tweeting about, we see this taking place in different settings or situations. So obviously one is a social setting, you know, among friends or acquaintances or even family members. And so as we've heard from the people we spoke to earlier, just hanging out with a bunch of friends, and where most of them may be from one particular ethnic group where they share that common tongue. And so, and I've seen this happen. Mm-hmm. They switch to that language, they tell the jokes, and sometimes they may come back to you and say, oh yeah, yeah, we were talking about this. And it really depends. Some people do that, some people don't. And as we saw from one of the tweets earlier as well, it can make a person feel quite lonely.
But
in another setting in which people often find themselves excluded due to language is also the workplace, because very often there may be meetings or work discussions where there are more people from a particular ethnic group, and then they tend to start discussing things in their own language. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they may even go off on a tangent without including those who don't understand them.
Mm.
And you know, Lim himself has tweeted that he has seen it at places like team lunches.
So whether a particular language dominates the discussion will then depend on the power dynamics of that group.
Mm.
So for instance, if there are more people from a particular ethnic group at say the senior levels, conversing in their own language will not only exclude others, but it will also diminish the value of the others in the group, right?
Yes.
And this can also make those excluded members feel like what they have to say is not as important or perhaps not even wanted in this decision-making process.
Yeah. We have a caller on the line who wants to share something. Good afternoon, Ming.
Hi.
Hi, would you like to share your thoughts?
Yes, I think it depends on the occasion. Let's say if we are in a company discussion or in a meeting, of course we need to speak in the language which is either English or Bahasa, which is majority people can understand.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened is that, you know, in some company where most of the attendants are, say, Chinese speaker, they tend to move into Chinese conversation and left out with one or two non-Chinese speaker, and I found that this is quite disrespectful.
All right. And have you been in a situation like that?
Yes.
And how does it affect you?
Yeah, you know, I will try to remind the one who converse the conversation to, you know, hey, we have somebody who can't understand Chinese, you know, they are part of the discussion. How do you expect them to understand if you continue in Chinese?
All right.
Well, as someone who's been in that situation, I appreciate you doing that.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, Ming.
Thank you.
All right. And we can see this playing out in different situations, and sometimes it's done explicitly and intentionally, mm-hmm. which is really bad. But there are also occasions when it is implicit and done without conscious thought, and you're just more comfortable. You recognize that person shares the language with you, and you just switch over. So I just wanted to understand the role of language in intercultural communications, especially in a society like ours. So I spoke to Dr. Asma Abdullah earlier. She's an intercultural specialist. So here's my conversation with her. Dr. Asma, the lawyer Lim Wajid had tweeted last week about how some Malaysians like to speak in their own vernacular language, even though there are other people in their group who don't necessarily speak the same language. How common is this practice among Malaysians, and how do we come to practice it?
Yeah, I think we have to understand the context you know, I mean, it is quite common because we are a multicultural society where people can speak and will speak in the language they like and are competent to use. So it's quite common for us to prefer to use the same language when we meet someone from the same ethnic group.
So, is this practice really disrespectful then, especially when you consider there may be other people in a group who don't understand that language?
Well, you know, that's one way of looking at the issue. But I think it all depends on the context, again, whether it is private or social settings. I think it would be disrespectful when it is done intentionally, you know, to exclude the person who does not speak the language from the face-to-face conversation. You know, like when you want to say something unpleasant about the person.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would be quite embarrassing if that person knows what you are saying in the language you're speaking in.
Mm.
So in a multicultural society, we have to understand that what one culture reveres, another may not see it in the same way because of our differences in values, religion, way of life, and so on.
And what about in a professional setting? How would the use of one language to the exclusion of others affect the dynamics in a professional setting?
I think in this case, we need to decide what would be the official language at work, as well as the language that you use to communicate with, you know, your colleagues or your boss or all these others. You know, I think, you know, in Malaysia, we have these differences, you know, in terms of formal language,
mm-hmm.
as well as informal language, which I think we all engage ourselves in, because sometimes when you want to build rapport, trust and understanding, you go into your informal, you know, informal language, whereas the formal language tends to be too matter of fact. You know, sometimes it is very difficult to build relationships.
Can you give an example of that?
Yeah, I think you know, when we are making presentations, you know, we have a tendency to use formal, formal text,
mm-hmm.
and formalities are important. But when you want to reduce the impact, or maybe it's a difficult conversation, then you gravitate towards a language that you use at the informal level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Malaysians, I know, and I too also use the code switch. You know, you code switch Malay to English and English to Malay,
mm-hmm.
When you want to build relationships or maybe establish a better rapport. Again, you know, it depends on the language you speak. If it is English, you have to be a bit more careful here, because, you know, we all have different levels of competencies, you know, when we speak in the English language.
So even within one language, it can be formal or informal depending on the level at which you use it.
Right.
Okay. But we do live in a multiracial society. There are many languages, different languages being spoken amongst us. And how do we, you know, navigate that so that we don't use language to segregate?
This is where I think understanding the context we are functioning is very important. Maybe some understanding of culture, you know, and nuances of the language, because it is very often that we make judgment about the other without understanding the total situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is where developing some degree of empathy about the other and checking out, you know, what is the preferred language that we want to use can help. You know, because based on my understanding of our, you know, cultural dimensions, you know, most collectivistic societies like ours tend to be mutually exclusive. We gravitate towards people of our own kind due to similarities,
mm-hmm.
because they serve the glue, you know, for communication. While individualistic societies tend to be more free reign and will not be obliged to think for the group. So, mm-hmm. Malaysia is a rather complex society. So,
in that regard, then, in a collectivistic society, do you see that the role of a common language being even more important, like a national language?
Very important. But then, you see, we're not like Japan and Thailand. You know, they are monocultural and homogeneous societies. Ours, we are a multicultural society with three homogeneous groups mm-hmm. living side by side. You know, so striking a common language sometimes can be a challenge. And plus, what more with, you know, so many medium schools, you know, like right now, you know, we have Chinese medium, we have Malay medium, I mean Malay national language, and then Indian, and then we also have the English, you know, schools, mm-hmm. private schools. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we are separated in terms of, you know, using the language. But then maybe this is an urban phenomena, you know, whereas the rest of the country will be kind of homogeneous. Like, for example, you know, we use English in urban areas, but, mm-hmm. you know, for me, if I balik kampung to Kedah, I need to switch and speak Malay.
Mm-hmm.
And in the local dialect, to build rapport and understanding.
Mm.
So I think we just have to assess the situation and be sensitive to the language that we prefer to use in the setting that we are in.
Do you think there's, because some suggestions have been made in response to Lim's tweet that, you know, the person who's feeling excluded could also speak up. And so what do you think of taking that stand? It can be difficult. It depends on the dynamics.
That's right. It can be difficult for someone to speak up because, again, you know, Malaysians are very accommodating.
Mm.
And being articulating, you know, or making a complaint in this way,
mm-hmm.
Because he or she feels excluded, can be challenging for some. You mm-hmm. know, some people are not so assertive,
yes.
so they can't say what they want to say openly.
Mm-hmm.
Also, because maybe they don't have the position power to do that,
mm-hmm.
but. You know, if they are the boss, then it's easy for the person to say, hey, you know, speak in the language that we all want to use. So it depends. But to stress that, you know, you speak in a language that I understand can be a challenge for those who don't have position power.
At the end of it all, this is the society we live in, and these are the quirks that we have to manage. Just a final note, how would we turn things around just to be more inclusive in our daily conversations?
Well, to be more inclusive, I think we have to learn about, you know, we have to put ourselves in the shoes of the other. Who may not be so conversant in the language that we are using. I think we just have to have an antenna, you know, to figure out, you know, the sensitivities around us.
Mm.
I think that Malaysians are accommodating, but also we need to be able to articulate, you know, our point of view that will be acceptable. So I think in the long run, we have to be empathetic, mm-hmm. sensitive to the cultural nuances, of the situation that we are in and just politely say that, you know, maybe we need to speak in a language that is common to all. And I know that, you know, in the urban areas, you know, speaking English is not a problem, but there could be people who are not so competent, you know, to argue in the English language, to speak sensibly, or to speak in a way that will come across to others as professional or as smart.
Yes. That was Dr. Asma Abdullah, an intercultural specialist. And Shamila, we have quite a number of comments.
So someone's WhatsApped in to say, to be in a group that speaks a language that I don't understand, obviously I wouldn't be comfortable. You'll never truly be a part of them, let alone have a sense of belonging. And then we have the garbage man who tweeted in to say, we get that a lot overseas, especially when English is not the main language. But back home, it's not a problem because I know all three languages. Okay. Well, good for him or her. And then EU has said, I trust my counterparts. If they speak in the language I don't understand, it must be something that isn't relevant to me or not good for me to know. I'm also comfortable sitting alone with a gang of alien tongues.
Right, okay. Well, it's rare. It's rare for somebody to be comfortable in that setting.
And Ng tweeted us to say, at my place of work, a few meetings are conducted in my mother tongue, which I do not understand. There's also a clear reason for it, though, mostly that more important foreign parties are most comfortable in that language. So yes, a practical aspect there, I suppose.
I mean, there were a lot of negative responses to Lim's Twitter thread. You know, some of the sort of the defense that came back was, you know, some jokes can only be appreciated in a particular language, or why can't the person who is being excluded learn a new language to improve him or herself? So, you know, it's I think, though, as Dr. Asma has said, it's about empathy.
Yes.
It's about putting yourself in another person's shoes to know if they are sitting there just feeling like they can't participate in this conversation. How does it make them feel?
So just having a sense of how people around you feel and how they're reacting to what's going on, right?
Yes. Yeah. And this comes back to how you see your interactions and people's interactions with you. If you're the kind of person who doesn't care how people feel anyway, I'm guessing you're not going to care about language or anything being an issue, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe just quickly recap our poll again?
Yeah, so we are asking you on Twitter if you're okay with the group you are with speaking in a language that you don't understand. About 51% of people say it depends on the situation, whereas 34% of people have said no, it's never okay, while 15% have said sure, why not? I think it really does depend on the situation most of the time, doesn't it?
Yes.
So you can tweet us at BFM Radio and you can WhatsApp us at 0187 789 8899. We are also on Facebook. You can check us out at BFM The Bigger Picture.
Okay. And if you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my, on our BFM app, or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, Kelly and Issa will be speaking to Dignity and Services about empowering people with learning disabilities. Thank you for listening to our show. I'm sorry. We have No Doubt with Don't Speak to take us out on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.